love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. And he answers prayer. Oh, he answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to. Let's all stand as Brother Terrence comes. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Oh, God is so good. And he's so good to me.
Amen. Good morning. Let's everyone out here and outside. Thank the Lord for letting us get together. All the ones that may still be home doing it, watching, just continue. Listen, Brother Dick did pass away this morning, so just remember the family. Remember Sister Gail, Connie, and Brad, and Ginger. So just remember them and all of his grandkids and everything, great grandkids. So just remember that family. He went home on a good day, so every day's a good day to go home. But if you're a Christian, but today was a good day. We appreciate Brother Dick and the things he done. He lived a long life and. Just remember his family. I know we all have unspoken requests this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the family of Brother Dick there, Lord. Be remember Sister Gail and Connie and Lord Ginger and Brad and all the grandkids and great grandkids, Lord. Just bless that family as they're going through this time, Lord. But we know where Brother Dick is this morning, Lord. He's home, Lord, and we thank you for taking him there. Lord, be anyone here that's sick, Lord, all the unspoken requests, the ones in the cars, Lord, that need a touch from you, you come down and bless them this morning. Be with us and guide us. Give Dad strength this morning and also give us strength to listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Oh, God is so good. Oh, God is so good. Yes, God is so good. He's so good to me. Do you love him this morning? Oh, I love him so. Yes, I love him so. His love is so great. Yes, I love him so. He's so good to me. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, oh love, till there's just no more love. For I can never, ever outlove my Lord. Oh, I want to live the way he wants me. And I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, oh love, till there's just no more love. For I can never, ever outlove my Lord. Because he lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, hallelujah, all my fears are gone. because I know, oh yes, I know He holds my future. This life is worth the living just because He lives. Let's just raise our hands and praise. Because He lives. Just worship Him with all your heart. I can face tomorrow because He lives. All my fears are gone, and because I know, yes, I know He holds my future. This life is worth the living just because He lives. Hallelujah. It's because He lives we can live also. Amen. Let's sing that song. It's page 11 if you have your Spiral books with you. Hallelujah, we shall rise. It's in the key of F. Amen. What a resurrection morning that was, but what a resurrection morning this is. Amen. And the Son of Man has risen among us. Praise the Lord. In that resurrection morning, when the trump of God shall sound, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Then the saints will come rejoicing, and no tears will e'er be found. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Oh, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise, amen. We shall rise, hallelujah, in the resurrection morning. When death prison bars are broken, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. In the resurrection morning, what a meeting it will be. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. When our fathers and our mothers and our loved ones we shall see, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Oh, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise, amen. We shall rise, hallelujah, in the resurrection morning. When the death prison bars are broken, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. In the resurrection morning, blessed though it to me, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. I shall see my blessed Savior who so freely died for me. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Oh, in the resurrection morning, we shall meet Him in the air. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. And be carried up to glory, to our home so bright and fair. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Oh, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise, amen. We shall rise, hallelujah, in the resurrection morning. When death prison bars are broken, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Let's sing I Am Blessed in the key of F. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. And every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Hallelujah. So blessed to hear the word for our day. Amen. To know who we are and who he is. Let's give me a key of B flat. Let's sing. I know the master of the wind, predicting all types of storms coming through today and tomorrow, but we have a master that can control the nature of all these storms just by his word. Amen. Put our trust in him. Let's sing the chorus. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. And he can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind, my boat of life. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a father. But I have a father. And he watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale. And I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. But an unexpected storm may drive me from the highs. It brings me low, but never brings me down. Hallelujah. And I know the master of, oh, just praise him this morning. Just invite him in. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. And I know the master of the wind. Sing it with all your heart. And I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. And he can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. And I know the master of the wind. Amen. Hallelujah. Such an assurance to know the resurrection one this morning. Let's change the order of the service as we sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart. That's so important in this time to have a revelation of what God's doing in our midst and His plan for us. And we know that by the revelation of His Word to us and through the opening of the Word. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let's all stand. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see You. Oh, Jesus, I want to see You. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes. Bless You, Lord. I want to see You. Oh, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up. Oh, You're shining in the light of Your glory. So pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. So high and lifted up. Oh, You're shining in the light of Your glory.
Amen.
So pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Oh, holy, 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 You are holy. To see You.
Amen and amen and amen. And I want to see Him, don't you? Yeah. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody outside the house of the Lord. Get out there in the cars and the things, and just we pray that the Lord would put it to where you can hear real good and everything can be done, and we can really, I guess, we don't have to worry about this from now on. We can tell you, you can come outside and park. And bring your laptop with you and everything, because it'll go right through the internet system and all, you know. So if you want to do that, but we just have to keep our, you know, group of people coming to keep everything running right and all. And that's why we do that way, you know, to get it all to go in and may abide by the rulings and things. And but the main thing is just to pray that God would reach down and touch the whole world, because never has there been a time that the world was in a turmoil like it is now. You know, never before. It's all it's never been. And it's just, you know, you don't know what's going to happen from day to day, so we don't worry about it. We just go on and take it as we receive it and be ready against the day. Amen. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn with us to the book of Luke 24, and we'll read a little bit there. Just remember to pray for, I know you have, but for the Addison family, for Brother Dick passing away this morning, somewhere around 7:30 or something this morning. And it's a good day to pass. In other words, if I have to pick a day of the year to be my passing away, I would definitely either want it to be in the events of Calvary and all the connections. So, but just pray for them. They'll let us know whatever, and we don't know what they can do. No way to know until you get all to doing, and they'll let us know, because their plans were to, cremate the body, to take it down to Port St. Joe there and, you know, put his ashes where he always loved to go. And, so remember that, and then there'll be a memorial somewhere down the road, and the church will have one or something. If they don't, into the basis of that, we'll have a memorial for him, because we can't have, this is the oddest thing that's ever happened in the world, when you can't bury people. And then where they can in places, they're just ditching out strips and just putting the caskets and things in, you know, and
because there's so many people dying, but remember that. Also remember Brother Al. Now, his mother passed away there, I believe it was yesterday. So remember her, the family there, the ones that's left, you know, Al and his brother, and just pray that the Lord would bless each one. All right. The Lord willing, Wade will be ministering Wednesday, so remember that, and pray that the Lord would guide each one of us. All right, we're going to Luke 24. We'll go to verse 1. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love and your understanding. Thank you for everything. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for a resurrection time. What a day, what a time that we have to realize that we are beneficiaries of the resurrection. Not it was just a day or a time or for somebody else, but it's for us. And we have the rights of all of the things that goes with the resurrection. And the whole entire plan of redemption is based in that, because you proved there in the resurrection who you was and what you were doing. And everything to be made manifest was proved by your resurrection, because no man could raise from the dead unless it be you. We love you. And we thank you, and just have your way. Bless the Addison family and bless the Kennard family and all, and just be with each one. Have your way. Remember the others that are sick among us. Remember Brother Dale, learn to be with him, Sister Mary. Just bless Brother Collie, Lord, and be out with all of us. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Naturally, we would read the resurrection time. It's a good time, and we'd read the scriptures of it, but it may change a little bit as we go along into the message. But let's go to verse 1, Luke 24. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? All right. Now, think of that. Why seek ye the living among the dead? That's one they went there to see. They went there to see a dead man. Come find out there ain't no dead man there. Come find out there ain't no man there, because he's raised. All right. What is it? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. All right. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessings. We'll pick up another scripture connected right to that one in a moment, but, you know, it's a great time to have a Easter services and things. We're glad to be able to do that, and for the people to be outside with us and things. At least they're that close, you know, and pray that, as I said, that all of this will pass on off, and that everything will get back to normal, to where we can be in services and all, because we miss each other. I was kidding some of them out there a while ago as I seen them coming by. I said, where you been? You know, that, they said, well, where you been? So we all do it. That was good. But anyhow, it's a good time to be in the last days. All right. Now, we know that in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, no man had been able to raise, you know, nobody could do. Now, he could raise, God could raise the dead or something like that, but nobody could raise just themselves on the basis of their word. And that was really what it was. He had taught throughout through his journey of time there with them through the Gospels, and talked about the things that would happen and what would take place and all like that. And he was beginning to tell them, you know, what to expect. Okay? All right, you go to Mark, and about 8:31, and it says, and he began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes. Now that was his teaching coming down. And be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. All right. So he spoke of his resurrection. Okay. The prophet says then in that day proved the point of who he was. The day that he raised proved who he was, that he was Almighty God in human flesh, because nobody else could do that and bring forth. But yet he was speaking and telling them and showing them all the way through the Gospels, showing them what would happen. And it was like to them, I guess, as it says one time in there, it was like idle words on going on in Luke a little. You know, it was like idle words to a lot of people, even after they had seen the grave opened. Even after they had seen he was gone, they still could not comprehend or put everything based upon that when they'd had 3.5 years of talking about it, telling them about it. And the best you could come out of it was Peter said, now they're not going to kill you. We'll fight. See? I mean, that would be the best you could get out of the whole 12 of them was a fact of one saying, well, we'll just fight. Well, that wasn't no good. That wasn't nothing about it. But I want you to think about now in the resurrection, because that resurrection was, as I said, proof there that who he was. Okay? Now put that to work that you get to where it says that he is risen. We know this. We've been through it for all of our years talking about the resurrection and the thing. That it doesn't say he has or was or whatever. It puts it into a personal present tense form of saying he is risen. All right? Now, see, that message has always been the same. The reason I bring it like that, see, you'd say, come over, you know, a few years later and said, well, we know. We know, yeah, we believe. He was here and he was raised from the dead and things like that. We believe that. But that wouldn't be the gospel that was being brought. That gospel that was being brought when it was saying he is risen, it would be from that day until the final resurrection. All right? Now, I said that because of the way I mean it. The final resurrection. Because, see, there has to be a resurrection. There has to be a resurrection in the last days. All right? And it will finalize in the total resurrection of those that are asleep in Jesus Christ. All right? And, see, then every generation had the same message. What? Not just looking back or looking forward. Every generation had the same message. He is risen. All right. So if anybody ever asks you about the Lord Jesus, just tell him, say, he is risen. Because that, you know, well, no, he did raise back yonder. We believe that. No. That's not what he said. He is risen. They made the proclamations, the angels did, in declaring to show that what we should always be saying, he is risen. And keep that to us to where that we can see, you know, in the day that we're living. All right? Now, see, on this Easter morning, as we would call it, then he raised from the dead, came forth, but that wasn't all of it. They said we can believe it present tense and things. That's not all of it. See, it didn't end just by his resurrection. What kind of a gospel would we have if we had no connection to the resurrection? Right? What kind of a gospel would you have? What would you be thinking about it unless you could say, he is risen. But now the only way you can say he is risen is for that resurrection to be inside of you speaking out. All right. So what is the resurrection? What is the connection? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the resurrection. Right? Because that's the proof of it. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's proof of the resurrection. When he raised was proof of who he was. When he raised, it was proof that he was Almighty God and that everything was in control. And that he would tell that to every church age. And it would go all the way through until it would come finally a total physical resurrection one day. But you see, we don't have to wait until that day comes. We don't have to say, well, one of these days there'll be a resurrection. No. The prophet is, and Brother Joe was quoting it this morning there. He said, what a resurrection that was. What a resurrection this is. See? Something right now. Present tense. We don't have to wait on the resurrection. The resurrection started the day you was born again. The day you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that started your resurrection. It also started your rapture. See? Because without that being in us, there will be no resurrection nor rapture for us. See? You know, you'd have to have something take place. Well, no, all I depend upon what took place back there. But I want that brought up here. And what have I been preaching for months and months? What? Not back, not forward. Look at it now. So let's look at the resurrection right now. See? Let's get the resurrection into the right place where it is. Then we can say to anybody saying, he is risen. See? We don't have to say he has risen. That anybody could say it that way. Proclaim it. You know. But to those who have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that new birth with inside of you, there is the resurrection, the rapture, all that we have need of. It's what your prophet said. He said everything you have need of is in that Holy Ghost when you receive it. All we need is a growth development, sure. We need a stature of a perfect man. We need those things. But you realize that if you started off at faith and never went any further, then you couldn't declare he is risen. You would be declaring he has. You'd be looking back. No, you're looking forward to the headstone one day capping everything off, and that headstone will be a message. Come on, if it was a message back there. See, that's where everybody's trying to make it some kind of a big thing. The message back there, he is risen. Every age has had that same message. Well, what would be the headstone? Would it not be the same message? Just a deeper depth, an understanding, an opening up of more of the word, or bringing into view and seeing it more clear? But would it still not be he is risen? See, then that way you don't have to worry about what the seals are, what this is, that. It's the message. He is risen. That's the message. It's still here. After 2,000 years, we still have the same message. See? But if we don't believe it like that now, if we believe he was or will be, that's not the what the angel said. See? That wasn't the message that was told to them. It was told to them, he is risen. Huh? Because he had declared all the way through his teachings in the gospel. And like I said, during Mark, then he taught his doctrine. He taught his things. And when it finished with the book of Mark, what did it finish with saying? And that he would raise again the third day. Well, we know that's what happened. We know he raised the third day. All right. That's fulfillments of the scripture. All right. But why would it say that he would rise again the third day? That's what Mark said. He said he'd rise again. Sounding like maybe there's something about this resurrection that did not completely finish up back there. And that's what I'm trying to get me and you to look at. See, If we can keep it, he is risen, it'll come from all the way back there, all the way to where we're at. And then we have the message, and we have the prophet's message to declare he is risen. Because that was his message. Right? That he is risen. That was what went across, you know, the world and seven times around the world and all. Preaching what? He is risen. Because he was preaching something that was present tense. Something that was alive right then. And see, that baptism of the Holy Ghost being the new birth, it is the resurrection inside of you. Right? Come on now, it's a proof. He proved who he was when he raised. Right? He proved who he was when he raised. All right? See, if we have the resurrection then like he did, then there's a proof. That Holy Ghost that you have is a proof that he is risen. You're not taking what somebody else says. See, if you say what somebody else says, you're just repeating that. You're not saying what the Word says. The Word said he is risen. Right now, he is risen. Is always present tense. See? And that's the way that it's never been nothing else but present tense. All the whole Bible is present tense. I am ever present for eternity. What about it? A simple message. A simple thing of thinking about the resurrection. But thinking about that it started back there, but it will not end until the finality of the resurrection. One day there will be a literal resurrection for those that have passed on. But to show you the message is right, that it is present tense, somebody don't have to die. See, to some people, there's not going to be a physical resurrection. Oh, never thought about it like that. Well, listen a little bit. See? Some people will never have to have a resurrection. Why? Because the resurrection is inside of them. It's already there. It's not something you have to. See, those that are alive and remain, they'll be caught up. They don't have to raise in the resurrection because they don't die. Why? Because the new birth started that so positive back there until that soul cannot die. And that's why I said it, then your resurrection started, even if you die. If you die, your resurrection started back there. And one day will climax in a physical resurrection. Because some people will die and have to be raised. The dead in Christ shall rise first. All right. Okay? Then when that comes forth, see, then the point of the eternal life dwelling within you and me can declare the whole thing is finished. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's when that brother asked me what my point was or what I was aiming at. I'm aiming at a positive, total, present tense eternity right now. The day you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the rapture set in your heart and soul. Sure, physically, we need a lot of things. We need the growth developments. We need all of the things. Yes, we need the adoptions. We need the stature of perfect man. We need the teaching of the word. We need the seals opening to it. We need all of those things. Yes. But it started back there. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it wouldn't make no, you know, nothing else wouldn't be worth anything. Huh? But see, we have it already set within us. And we have proof. Right now, we have proof that he raised back there. We have proof that he raised. Well, no, you know, well, people, you know, everybody talks about it. He raised. But let me ask you a question. With them putting it into the resurrection, why are they looking for the Lord to come? Why are you looking for the Lord to come? Well, he said he's coming. No, he said he's here. He is risen. He's here. Oh, yeah, we know. We have to, but if you're getting the point and listen to what I'm saying, you say the people are preaching around the world today because, you know, and I'm not making remarks or anything, but because of the situation worldwide and the way things are going, there was probably as much as they can. Churches were full today. Preachers on the radio, preachers doing as we're doing, broadcasting the message out, doing all of those things. Yes, and probably a whole lot more than they was last Easter. A lot more is talking about the things that we need sincerely to be, you know, right now. We need to get serious. We need to get desperate because look at what all these things is taking place. Well, that's good. That's what I'm saying. But is that all it is? It is the fact that you're afraid. Are you afraid of dying? If you're afraid of dying, you don't have the living one within you. But if you don't have the living one in you, you have automatically be afraid of dying. Now, there's a part, like somebody said the other day about it, John. There's a part about death that we don't understand. Yeah. There's a fear situation in there. Brother Louis talking about Wednesday. There's a situation within that fear that, yes, we don't understand the death and the burial, the resurrection the way we need to, and we won't get it fully until it's finished. Then it'll be done. Then we'll understand. But yet there's no need of being, there's not any fear to that. See? With the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you shouldn't be afraid of anything. Because he's the one, all right? But see, church, listen to what I'm saying. What a resurrection, the prophet said. We'll get to that in a second. That was back there what a resurrection this is. See, he proved the message to be true by raising from the dead. And he stood there in the Gospels and declared what would take place, right? Go back and read your Gospels and things. He declared what would what would take place in the day. All right. Well, what if that had never happened? Excuse me. You say, well, you're just bringing up impossibilities. No, I'm bringing up a truth. I'm asking you, can you say he is risen? Can you say it from within you or just literal words somebody else has said? Can you declare, that's all the hope I have. All the hope I have in anything is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We have no hope in the world. Look at it. Stroke of a pen, we're all, the whole world, not just one nation. This has never been like this. Never been a time when the whole world, even when you'd say World War I, everybody didn't go to war. World War II, everybody didn't go to war. There was countries that had nothing to do with a lot of that. Yeah. But you see, now it's the whole world wide. Yeah. And see, it's driving people, sure, to their knees, and it ought to. That, to me, is the purpose of it. People turn down the message. Now you look what's taking place. Now get what I'm saying, and I'm just meaning this point, just to get you to look at something. That church right over there, they hadn't turned down the message because they don't know anything about it. Right. Most of the churches know nothing about this message. They ain't turned the message down. But see, there's a lot of people has turned the message down. You know, that's what brought the plague. That's what brought the plague, was the people of this message turning down the message. on it. And see, then the only way that's going to be done is like Wade was talking about it. You got to find a way to get to, what was his name? Took the censer and went among the people.
Aaron.
We say, well, Brother Branham was the prophet and all like that. Yeah. But he's not here now to take a censer and run among the people. Okay? No disrespect to your thoughts or whatever. All right. Well, see, something's got to happen. Well, I'm like this. The only way I can see that it can happen is for the people, the bride people, to realize who they are and what they're here for. We're here to proclaim the message. What? He is risen. Oh, we've been doing that for 2,000 years. Well, why hasn't he raised? It's not being declared that way. It's being declared he has or will or something. It's not saying he is risen. See, that's what I'm getting, trying to get you to see. The proof he raised proved who he was. By you receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost proved you was a child of God. All right? Proved that you were elected and all like that. You could go through all of the things. Proved it. Because it's who we are. And all he's doing is waiting on us to realize who we are. And then when we do, we can see the day and the hour we're living. Okay? Proof of the resurrection is the message that we have. See, if you have a bygone days message or a future message, you're not in the message. I don't care if you can quote, you can say everything. You got all the books, you got all the tapes, you know. But if it's not something personal, then it's not the message the prophet was bringing, because he was bringing a message to prove that he is risen. Huh? Now think about it. See, Jesus proved the fact of him coming forth alive, that he was the resurrection. But that didn't end it all. Because you see, when he came forth, had it been just him raising and nothing else taking place, look where you would be. But instead of that, he raised. And when he raised, he come right back in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's the message. That brings us alive. He came forth as alive. It brings forth us alive. See? All right? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is proof that the resurrection has already passed. The resurrection being already passed, already being something that was done, is proof by you being able to receive eternal life in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? See, then, the proof of the resurrection. We have that this now to where we can say he is risen. And like I said now, see, when you get to the point of seeing that he is risen the correct way, then you'll see the seals is broke, all the things are unveiled, the word is undone, because that's the message. The message is the message of eternal life. No one ever spake like this man did in the last days about eternal life. I'm talking about in the time, you know, in the hour. That was what caught me, because I was looking for things. I was desiring things from God and searching for it. But when I heard a man talking about what I had experienced of seeing God and the things and him, what he could do, there was where the message become alive. The message is not a quote. It's something that's alive. Yeah. Now think about it. See, he raised in the resurrection, but he came back into the church to bring her that same resurrection, right? To bring her the benefit and make her the beneficiary, how you'd say it, of that resurrection. If you'll study the message, it is the rising of the sun. See, then you'll understand why he said. Now, if you look at it and see the church coming into view, you know, all right, the church, the bride coming into view, all right, then you can understand why he said, all right, said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have to die. And said, I know there he didn't say that when somebody else was writing it because they said what he was saying. All right. But listen, he said in simple, plain language, I'm going to raise again. Now there he stood. Right? There he stood. The resurrection had done taken place. But yet back over there, before he come to there, he knew what he would do. And he's speaking in Mark a good time before the Easter sunrise morning, and he says, and after 3 days, I'll raise again. Again. Why would it use the word again? It simply, it seemingly implies that there's two resurrections. Because he'd already raised. There he stood. He is risen. He's here. But way before then, he had already told them what he would do. That he would rise again. Well, why would it use it in those terminologies? There's not two resurrections, but there's a resurrection in many parts. What would you call it? Many, it would take a lot of it to include it. Because now listen, that's what I would like for you to do sometimes when you get time to read a little bit right at Mark and read around that, Mark 8:31, and just look at it of the way he's saying it. He's saying, I, the Son of Man. Now, that's what I said to you. I try to make sure that you don't get lost in doing. Don't turn over to Mark and say, yeah, it's not in red letter. Well, there's a whole lot from Genesis to Revelation that's not in red letter. Are you going to take all that out? If you do, you got a very thin Bible. All right. Get what I'm saying. He stands there and or throughout his whole message, he declared that he was God, the Son of Man. All right. He declared all those things, and he declared what would happen to this Son of Man. And when he gets over to the point, he comes from there, he comes from Genesis 1 with the Son of Man, and he comes over and he says, and then I'm going to raise again. That's looking at him, well, what do you mean? You just raised. He said, I'm going to rise again. All right, now listen. The argument between the Pharisees and Sadducees, my understanding was that the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, the Sadducees didn't believe in one. So they'd argue their point backwards and forth. All right. But that's what I'm asking you, is it just an argument? When he said, I'll rise again, could he not have been looking to the last days? Physically, there will be a resurrection. Come on, I'm a Pharisee, okay? Physically, there will be a resurrection. Sadducees, no, he's already done it. It always done, is it done? No. Jesus was covering, if you'll get my point, if you just read it, he was covering from Genesis to right exactly where he would raise, which would be sometime later from where he said that in Mark. All right? Follow that point of what I'm talking about. All right? When you follow that point, then you will see that there's strange things spoken in, I guess you call it odd, strange ways to hide it from the wise and prudent, but that it would reveal it to the babes. In other words, with the ones with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it could be revealed to them, right? And see, strange things are said throughout the Bible. I remember when we was in the Baptist church, we used to talk about the first resurrection. You know, and the second resurrections and the things like that. And I want you to just start with me and ease up through something and think about what's being said. Go ahead and pull up number one, because you'll get it from Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now listen to his statement. This is the first resurrection. The ability for somebody to live 1,000 years because of the fall back there, and nobody ever lived that, but somebody would live that 1,000 years. And it would be called then what? This is the first resurrection. Now watch him. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But he shall but they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now he's talking about 1,000 years here and 1,000 years here. He's flip-flopping back and forth, it looks like. But he's not. He's explaining exactly what he's talking about. There's going to be 1,000-year millennial reign to prove the sin curse is taken off. Somebody will live. It won't be me and you. We don't have to do that. But those people will be able to live 1,000 years, exist that period of time, because of something that happens with us. See, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the first resurrection. Right? Come on, that's simple. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the first resurrection. Right. You're going to live 1,000 years millennial reign. Right? Not because you got to. The part that has to prove the sin curse is gone is for somebody physically to live it. And they will. Human people will. The Jews, the millennium will be for them. And they'll live 1,000 years to prove the sin curse is taken off. Where do you think we're going to be? We're going to be right there with them. But not in physical bodies like their bodies were, you know. We'll already be in a glorified body. We'll be body, spirit, and soul eternal. And we can stay there. Why? Because we already have right here the first resurrection. We don't have to wait. The people will have to wait till the time comes that they'll be given life to be able to live 1,000 years. But we don't have to do that. Because we already have the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no part. Right? You don't have no power. You realize the baptism of the Holy Ghost you got in you? Are you scared of this thing out here, of all of these plagues and things? Humanly speaking, yes, there's jitterbugs that come when things are said. Sure, that's human. That's that part we were talking about a minute ago. But listen, I'm not afraid of dying. Why? Because I already died. I'm promised if I die, I go to the grave. But I promised a resurrection. And I I can go to the grave saying he is risen. Because one day it'll take place. The devil hath no power. Perfect love cast out fear. His brother Luis was on Wednesday. See? Fear hath torment. It bothers you. Yes, and it's humanly. Sure. But why would you be afraid? See? That's what's wrong with the people of, that's what I've tried to get people to see about it. And I know it's been misunderstood, but people want to scare their children with an eternal God that hates them, wants them to live good, wants them to do. It's good to want them to live and want them to do. But why make it a fear? Why not make it love? Well, it's hard to tell them that God's going to love them and he's going to kill them. He ain't going to kill them. If anybody killed him, we kill ourselves. Right? But get what I'm saying. Jesus was actually saying, I've taught you all of my time with you. But said, I'm going to have to be killed. And they just, well, you know, we're afraid. He said, don't be afraid. He said, because I'm going to rise again. All right? Now, he said a statement that is outstanding when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. See, he was standing there looking all the way through over past us to the end of all things, and there'll be a resurrection. Even the sinner will have to be raised. Everybody, Brother Brown said, will have a resurrection. See, one of them is into, eternities and things like that. Bringing your body and the different things and connecting it together. Yeah. But some, they're going to have to raise and go to the white throne and stuff like that. Everybody's going to raise. Because that's the point. Except to those that are alive and remain that don't die. They don't have to raise. That's the wonderful thing to me and you. And here's the point now. They without us cannot be made perfect. So the pull is going to come from the ones that are so anchored into Christ, into that Holy Ghost, until they're not going to die. Right? Do you believe that's going to happen? According to the Bible, it's going to be that somebody don't have to die. Well, they're waiting on the ones that don't have to die. I mean, that's who I'm waiting on. If I have to die, I'm waiting on the ones that don't have to die. You know, I've already studied the story out, and I realize all I got to do is just be a part of that group. In some way connecting to eternal life. And then I see this message as it unfolds and things as it's brought forth. And I see your prophet talking about things. Like I said, everybody understand now my point. See, the first resurrection is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? The second resurrection, you don't have to worry about that because you ain't going to be no part of it. Second resurrection is the sinner dead. All right? That ain't where he's talking about going to rise again. No. What's he talking about? That's Brother Branham said, those without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, will he be lost? He said, no. Well, listen. If a person dies without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, will he be lost? Now listen to him. Listen to what he's saying. No. If he's a believer. He'll come in the resurrection, the second resurrection. He's a believer. He comes in, not the first resurrection. You say, well, that made him a believer. He's no, no. He ain't believing enough. All right? Now look, if he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he'll go in the first resurrection. See? Over which the second death hath no part. Okay? So there will be. I'm looking for a resurrection. Yes. But I believe the resurrection is already here within me and you. Okay? Let's let Paul make an outstanding statement. I hope I don't get too long. Hey, we got all day, though. We don't have to worry about it. It's one service. We can take it. Look at what Paul says. I want you to pay very close attention. Go to number 5, which is Philippians. Now listen to a man that at this period of time that he starts speaking, you could look up the dates or whatever time. He's already received the new birth. He's already went back and come back out with the word and the things, you know. In other words, he's already, we'll just put it in my language of best way. He's come up the stature of a perfect man. He's coming through those things. He's getting into situations of understanding, you know. He's talked to Peter and them. He's in on the stature of a perfect man. He knows about it. He's in adoptions. Now listen to Paul. And listen to what he says. Because as it was, as I said, Jesus looked like he was saying, I'm going to rise again. Well, remember, he was standing there and hadn't raised the first time. Right? I'm talking about Mark, where it was reading that, where the scriptures we gave. Now listen to what Paul comes up. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of many things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, a man with a great ability, the great position he would stand in theologies and could talk to you about anything and connecting the Old Testament to the New and all of the things and come in with a new birth and standing there talking. And look what he says. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, Paul, you're already born again. What are you doing? I'm trying to get you to look at something. I'm wanting you to understand something, that I may know him. You mean you don't know him? You already got to know him. Yes, I do. But there's more to it than just to say the new birth. There's a growth development. There's the stature. There's the adoption. There's all of the things that goes with it. Now listen to what he says. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul. What kind of language are you using? What are you saying? You have the new birth. You're not into all of that law teaching deals of all of the days and the thing. You straightened all of that out in Galatians and the Corinthians and things. What do you mean? If by any means. In other words, I'm longing for something. I'm desiring something that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's already in the first resurrection by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He has no worry of death. He has no way that the second death can bother him or anything. What are you talking about, Paul? You sound like that you sound like you're playing in one word that you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you're up in the higher with the apostles and things. And said, but now it looks like you're saying, well, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to be there or not. You say, no, that's not. Okay, read the next verse. not as though I had already attained. Now he looks like he's doubting. Either we're already perfect. No, he's explaining truth. Where he was standing, Paul was standing at a place that he needed something to happen to bring him to perfection. Well, he had a new birth. Yeah, but he didn't have the end time message. I'll just set that away. Okay. Not as though I had already attained. In other words, he's saying, I'm not where I want to be. I want to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Well, Paul, are you scared you ain't going to raise? No, that ain't what I'm talking about. That ain't what I'm trying to bring. Not as though I had already attained. He said, I haven't attained yet to this position that I want. But I'm not lost. But I'm not perfect. I'm not complete. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You're not where you want to be? No, he's not where he wanted to be. He's not where he wanted to be. I'm not where I want to be. Are you where you want to be? I'm glad to be where I'm at. I'm cherished the point and I'm glad of where I'm at, but I'm not happy with where I'm at. See? Because I see something else. I see what's bothering me, but I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the perfection that I want. Now think about it. See, I'm glad we've got a prophet. See, that way we can ask the prophet. Okay? So I'm asking Brother Branham, you're supposed to be the prophet. You're supposed to lead us through. You're supposed to be all this. Now, you're the one that all this is to come to help us to understand the word. And what's wrong with Paul? One minute he looks like he's as perfect as can be, and he's glorying a minute, and then the next minute he's saying, I'm not where I want to be. I want to be somewhere else. I want something else to happen. But yet, look at him. As we call him for his day, the prophet would say, for his day, he was the greatest height of all the apostles. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, he was no different in them. But yet, he was to the Gentiles, to the people. He was a messenger to the church age. Look at all the things the great apostle Paul was. But yet he's saying, I'm still not where I want to be. Now let me lay a little bit in here. Do you think that Paul would be waiting on you? If you don't, then you're not getting the point of what I'm talking about. Paul's waiting on me and you. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about now, I'd like to find a place that I could attain unto a resurrection of the dead. Not that I haven't already attained in the new birth. Not saying that I'm not where I want to be in Christ, but saying I'm not where I want to be. I want more. I want more. Go ahead to number 5 and let's just read and see what your prophet says this is talking about. Now remember what he said. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now what's he talking about? Go ahead, brothers, pull up number 6. Which is taken from the Sardisian church age. Roll it on up. You can read those things and get it. There you go. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now this statement is most peculiar. We all know that we are all going to be in a resurrection. Whether we want to be or not. All will be resurrected. So Paul could hardly be saying, if by any means I might attain to a resurrection of the dead. Because that's not what he's saying. That's what he said. That ain't what he's saying. Right? That's the words he used. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection. Look at the prophet. So Paul could hardly be saying, if by any means I might attain to a resurrection of the dead. The truth of the matter is, he is not saying that. He's not saying what you're reading that he's saying. You know, well, that's crazy. Now, you got to get into what I was saying about the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of things that are stated when Jesus said that he might rise again. And he hadn't even raised yet. And he looks like there's more to come of the resurrection. There is and was at the time he was standing there. Listen to Paul. The literal reading is, if by any means I might attain to the out resurrection. Amen. From among the dead. The out resurrection. He's not trying to be in any way raised, not. Listen. This is not the attaining to the general or second resurrection. Because you know Paul ain't going to be there. But attaining to the first resurrection. It's something pertaining to your resurrection that you want to be, Paul, to be attained to an out resurrection. Out of what? Okay. This is not the attaining to the general or second resurrection, but attaining to the first resurrection. Of which it is said, blessed and holy is he who hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no part, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The first resurrection has nothing to do with the second. He goes into what we were talking about a while ago. Paul, what are you saying? An out resurrection. From among the dead. Now Paul's walking around with people. And they're walking and talking and eating and things. But as far as he's concerned, they're dead. And Paul said, I don't want to be left here with this bunch of dead people. Denominationally dead. All the rest, this is at the end of the 1,000 years when all the rest of the dead live again. And in that day, there will be those who come forth to eternal life. All right. So he's explaining it. Listen. Out resurrection. Out from denominationalism. But wait a minute. Paul wasn't in no... Paul. That's Paul's trouble. That's what people's trouble was. But Paul recognized it. Paul said, I've got problems. He said, I've been born again. I've come through these things and I don't count it. Don't brag on myself. But said, I place myself above the apostles. because I've come up to that place. And ain't none of them added. He said one word to me. Is that his word? Paul said none of them added one word to him. Huh? Pretty good place to be standing. But he says still there's a bunch of dead people here. Now bring that down to where we are now. And you'll see the things and you'll see why Brother Branham said what he did there going together with what we've been talking about. A resurrection. You realize the day you was born again, as I brought down, your new birth started. The growth, development, stature, perfect man, etc. But see, we're not happy. We're not pleased with it. We want more of what we've got. That was Paul's idea. Then when he called it the out resurrection, he was just simply saying, out from among the dead. You realize I'm not throwing no stones or nothing. Do you realize that the bride of Jesus Christ is walking in a world of dead people? And there's a lot of people in that dead people that's going to get to heaven one day, so we're not throwing off on nobody. There's the foolish virgins, there's the Jews, there's all kind of groups. Whole lot more than there are of us that's going to get to heaven. So we're not throwing off on nobody. But just being plain. To the little bride that understands what you're here for and what we're doing. See, then you're having an out resurrection. You realize the day you're born again, you had an out resurrection. You realize that out resurrection is still taking place. As that word is being unveiled to us and unfolding and keeps on unfolding, it is an out resurrection. You see why that I'm so hard and strong, I know, and I beat it and all like that, of trying to get people to study the seals, the 70 weeks of Daniel, the marriage and divorce, the message of the hour, to see, are we still caught in dead denominationalism? Let's see, is it at the rising of the sun where Brother Ron said it? He said, I'm afraid that we're not getting the people to Jesus Christ. We're getting them to doctrines and ideas. But we're not getting them, he said, to Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're not doing as Paul, struggling to have an out resurrection. Out from among the dead. We're not trying to leave these things. No. But get from out among the dead. Okay? Now let me say just a word or two about this other part back there. See, when Jesus said he would raise again, I ask the question, I ask it again. Could he have been looking from back there in Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation and finalizes it in the resurrection? Right. See, then he would be raising again. He's going to raise again in the last days. Not in a natural resurrection because he don't need one. He don't need a natural resurrection. You and I are the ones that are going to need. He don't need one even at the end of the thing. But if you and I die, we're going to need a natural resurrection. If we don't die, you're going to have to get out of that out resurrection, into that Paul was saying, the out resurrection. Out away from our denominational ideas and opinions of this message and what we believe about it and what we've called it this and called it that. Instead of taking it for what he's saying and letting God speak to us. See? Brother Branham, on this rising of the sun, I won't get to it, I'll just make the statement. He said, there's going to be a resurrection in the last days. From according to Malachi 4, Luke 17:30. What kind of resurrection? Not a physical. That's already done. It's already stamped, sealed that we're going to have. Everybody's going to have a resurrection. Those who die and go down are going to be resurrected. But those who don't have to die, they don't have to have a resurrection. But they've got to walk in the light to get out of that out about resurrection has got to be applied to us. To get away from our own ideas and thoughts of what we think it is. To get down to what it is and saying, well, the prophet said it. He said there's to be a out resurrection of what? From the denominational ideas that we have. And that sheaf, we'll get back to it. That sheaf is to be waved. He said it's to be waved again. That sheaf was waved back there because Jesus raised from the dead. He was waved over the church, ascended up on high, come back and waved on the day of Pentecost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost to bring the new birth. That's to happen again when it comes to the headstone, the finality of this last days. There is to be another refilling of the Holy Ghost, yes. There is to be those things in the last days because it's to the people who realize what's taking place. And then that sheaf is to be waved from according to Malachi 4. According to Luke 17:30. In other words, Brother Brown's whole message. That's what we'll get to. We'll come back into this, pick up a little bit. And he says, there will be a message. Read it from Christ, from its rise of the sun, then we'll get back. He said, there will be a message swing forth. See? And here he is in 65. I think that's right on this. And he's talking about something to come. And it looks like to a lot that he's doubting what has already come. No. He's explaining one thing, if you'll read it this way. He's explaining Jesus Christ rose and was waved. Then that Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. And it went down through seven church ages. And it went into denominationalisms, et cetera, et cetera. Then we must have an out resurrection to get out of that. We must get out of that of our own selves and, you know, and our beings and things. And come forth with that sheaf to be waved again in the last day. Sure, Brother Branham was the first to come to maturity. I agree with that wholeheartedly. He was picked up and waved over you and I to show what is to come. But you know what? I'm going to say it honestly. One sheaf won't feed the world. One sheaf is just a handful. Is that all you want? No. I want the whole field. I want what's out there for me to live off of. I want the Word of God. Brother Branham brought the Word of God in a sheaf waving it over. It's right. But now that must come into you and me. If not, we need an out resurrection. That's what we need. We need an out resurrection. Out of our own ideas and thoughts, see. And he says there is to be a message. Let's see. In the first time, there will come forth for the bride age. For a resurrection out of dark denominationalism will be a message. That the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. See, so he's going to raise again. And then it's odd the way he says it and odd how that the Bible is for 3 days. What does the Bible say? After 2,000 years, in the third day, is that the scripture? Something's to happen in the third day because there's where the message is to come alive in you and me. Okay? Come on, musicians. Get too much to try to put it in, but we're going to get into the sheaf wave. And what we're going to try to get into that sheaf wave is to find out some strange statements Brother Branham made there, like he said that Mary was not the seed. She was just a carrier. Well, that would mean Azusa Street was false. No. That ain't what he's talking about. He's telling it like it is. He's bringing it forth the way it's supposed to be. The seed was in Mary and birthed out. There stood the word. If Mary represented Azusa Street, and that's what the prophet said she did, then, okay, there's got to be a people that become the seed. Not to give birth to it. That's part of the story. But to become the very seed itself. Out of dark denominationalism, a resurrection. Now do you see why the prophet said what a resurrection that was? What a resurrection this is. To realize what we've got to do. It's not that we have a choice of doing or anything. No, it's got to be done. If not, then we can all keep waiting on each other. But somebody's going to come to the place. And be like Paul, he said, I want an out resurrection. I'm happy where I'm at. Don't try to take that away. But I want some more. Right? Let's stand. Think on these things. What a resurrection that was. What a resurrection this is. Amen. To realize what's going on. Amen. Go ahead, brother. What we got?
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen.
Not will be.
He is here. His name
an out resurrection
again. Oh, he
Lord,
is
birth me
here.
Out of this denominationalism that I have in my own my mind and my own
hear
being.
Hear him calling out your name.
Let me be like Paul.
He
to be happy with one child,
here.
But yet want so
oh,
much more
you
until
can touch him.
That's all I want.
You will never.
I was thinking there this morning about it, how the message has unfolded itself.
He is here. Hallelujah.
How did I could stand in 1969 and declare the bride of Jesus Christ would be the Son of Man? The Word made flesh.
Holy, holy, I will bless.
See it today.
His name again.
Not looking out there at what's
oh,
taking place in that.
He is here. Listen closely.
But looking at what he's doing.
Hear him calling.
He's revealing his word to you and me.
Your name. He is.
Do you want an out resurrection to get rid of
you
our denominationalism?
Can touch him.
Brother Dad, I got rid of that a long time ago. I made this statement a long time ago, too. I said, God got me out of the Baptist. Now he needs to get the Baptist out of me. Because that was my problem. That's still my problem.
He is here. Holy, holy.
To you out there on the cars and the things.
His
what an Easter time that it
again.
Is. What a resurrection.
Oh, he is here.
Things are coming to pass so fast until you can't
hear
keep up with it. You don't know from one day to the next what's going to be.
Your name.
You don't know whether you'll be able to
he
go to church, buy food, buy do anything.
You can touch him. You
We better get serious. But not serious about, well, we're going to get together. We're going to do like they said they was going to do somewhere. There's 1,000 people who was going to go protest, and they was going to protest because the church wouldn't be able to operate. All that's going to do is cause trouble. What would it do? If they did, what has it done? If they laid it down and freed us up to where we could just all come. I want that disease or thing, whatever it is. I want that thing gone.
Yeah.
Because as long as that thing's here, we got trouble. When you got something that'll cover a whole world and every nation have deaths coming and going. But you see, we also have the right to pray. I know you. I know everybody here and what we're doing. But the other day when they called and told me, said, little Beck, said, they sent her home. Said, they don't know. They hadn't heard from the test yet, but said, it's a possibility that she's got this disease. Well, go to your knees and start praying. Go call out to God for everything to be all right. It's supposed to have been Friday, I think. I believe it's right now. It was supposed to have been this coming Friday before they could get the test done. Called him yesterday and said everything's negative. Well, believe and pray and thank God for it. Then we lose one, right? But we lose him on a good Friday. I mean, a good Easter time. Because we know where he's at in Easter. You know, if we were always as concerned as he was, I appreciate all the years that I've been able to know Brother Dick Addison. And I've had some wonderful fellowship in time. And he's always had that one thing he wants to talk about, the Lord and God's word. Yeah, well, okay, now he's getting his part of the reward. He's waiting on us now. We may have been waiting on him the other day, but now he's waiting on us. Because he's gone there and he's going to have to be brought forth. So somebody's going to have to call for it. So let's believe it and do that. All right. Remember now, no service this afternoon. Just go have you a good time. It's an Easter time. And, it's hard to exist in this world and the way it's going, but we got to. It's not to throw up your hands and quit. Where are you going to quit? You move over about 4 feet, you move over 6 feet and you say, I won't move over here and quit. Well, there's another block right on over there. Went in the store the other day and I was laughing about it. I said, I got to go from here to there and then to there. And then when I get there, can I order my food? That lady said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll take that. Then I ordered my food, and then I have to go over here and stand on the spot waiting to pay for it. I said, I've never been in nothing like this. Nothing before ever existed that way. But, we don't throw stones, but, the Bible speaks of, and the prophet did, won't be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. That's how easy they can stop it. They stop the stores from selling. What are you going to do? Right. Come on. Wade's got an announcement. I hope you enjoyed the message. Pray that you're looking forward to Wade being with us, ministering for us Wednesday, and just pray that the Lord would keep blessing. And if there's any possibilities of anything with Brother Addison, we'll try our best to know about it. And pray for Brother Al, too. He loved his mom. And everything she passed on, but he had a good point because she's, 90-something years old. And she went through a lot in her life. Her shoulders was bad and different things now. And so, she's better off, as we say it. You don't want to say that as a disrespect to anybody. You say it as a respect that she's better off because she's went to a better part, in doing that.
Okay, I want to thank you again all for coming, all of you that are outside. I just thought for a second we would do this since it's not 12 o'clock and we don't have to rush away. I would like to, as Brother Branham told us, he said when you get ready to cross that river, he said, I just believe God will send somebody over there that's already there that that'll help you across. So I want to read a few of the names. Now, this is not everybody that sat in the pews, but this is everybody that Brother Dick would have known. And if he didn't, they were still a part of this church that have passed on. I think if I can read them. And all of you outside, if I miss somebody, forgive me. But I'm going to start with the men. Brother Fred Hooper. Brother Monroe Burge, he was a long time ago. Brother Oscar Duncan. Brother Bill Marlowe. Brother Don Ginn. Brother George Canada. They're over there, right there with him. Brother Ernest Moat. Brother Robert Tatum. Brother Tom Fawbush. Some of these Brother Dick grew up with and worked with. Brother Gary Adkins. And now Brother Dick's joining that group. If I missed anybody, I've been trying to pick my brain, and I think that's about got it. That'd be all the ones that Brother Dick would know.
Richard Marlowe.
I had his name on here. No, I don't. Yes, no, I do. It's right here. It's the next one up. Okay. Brother Richard Marlowe is right next to Brother Dick. I wrote him last because Brother Dick's the one that now, I told him this morning, I said, there's not silence in heaven at this moment. Right. They're all having a good time. They're all rejoicing. And brother, the only thing Brother Dick's probably going to miss is Chick-fil-A or Hardee's. So that's the only thing he's going to miss. But he's right now rejoicing with those, right now, rejoicing with these people. And I don't want to leave the sisters out. Sister Inez, that used to come here a long time ago. Sister Burge. Sister Mary Hall. All right. Sister Violet Moat. Sister Duncan. Sister Sybil Marlowe. Sister Hazel Canada, Sister Ruth Colley, Sister Hazel Fawbush, Sister Margaret Adkins, and Sister Colleen Tatum. So, if I missed anybody, I'm sorry. But those are the people that are now gathered that Brother Dick knew of. He'd been here since the 80s, I guess. So he knew these people. And there's been people come in and go, Brother Tommy Bonds and all the different ones, but these are the people that Brother Dick fellowship with. Now he's fellowshipping with them, just stepped over into that other dimension, and he's waiting on us. He thought Port St. Joe was his paradise on this side, which I agree. But he's went to a paradise on that side that Brother Dale's talking about just because he died here while he was alive. He's over there alive while his body's dead laying here on the earth. But just, I thank God for knowing Brother Dick.
Amen.
He led worship here for years, years and years and years, many years, 20, 30 more years, and did an outstanding job. And he'll never be forgotten because we're just going to see him again.
Right.
Now we got to bring him here. He's one of those they. So here's the us. But God bless you. Thank you, all of you out there. Everything was done decently and in order. Everything was done well. I don't think we're doing good. So for those of you that are outside, if you know what we need to do, we're going to sing Brother Dale happy birthday, but we're going to do it while he's outside. You got to go outside. Put your mask on. You got to go outside. So when you go outside, y'all know what to do when he gets out there, okay? We're going to sing happy birthday to him. If it's raining, then just sing it really loud. If it's not, roll your window down. We're going to sing happy birthday. All right? So God bless you. See you Wednesday night, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock. And the normal group, Brother Zach, Brother Bob, Josiah, if you want to come, Brother Luis, Brother Aaron, Brother Donnie Fawbush, Brother Richard, Dad, me, T, Joe, Anderson, Brother Danny, if y'all want to come Wednesday, that'll be fine. I know some of you y'all have to work, right? Okay. But God bless you. We'll get back to normal here in just anytime soon. So Brother Dale's on his way out now. So go out the back door and let him sing happy birthday to you. So let's all dismiss and go down there with him. God bless you.